Good morning and welcome to Jump in Tucson. I am your host, Ed Ackerley. You know, on Jump in Tucson, we've put together a unique format with different hosts covering a wide range of topics. On Monday, I host Wonder, talking about the good things happening at the University of Arizona. Tuesday, Ted Maxwell hosts the Engagement Hour, civic engagement and how you can make your community better. On Wednesday, Grant Kruger hosts restaurants and current events and talking about how you can get involved. And then Thursday, Tom Moulton talks Visit Tucson in concert with Visit Tucson and talks about the attractions and the good things that those 7 million visitors come to Tucson for each year. And on Friday, we talk about great success stories in Tucson businesses and organizations. We have an example of great success stories here this morning. With us is the general manager of Casino del Sol, Lisa Sesmagay. Good morning, Lisa.
Good morning.
Well, we're going to talk in the second break in the second segment after the break. We'll talk about the 30th anniversary of Casino del Sol. It's hardly seems possible that it's already 30 years. But before we get there, let's ask a little bit about yourself. So, Lisa, tell us your story and how you became general manager of Casino del Sol.
Well, the first thing I like to say is that I am a proud graduate of Arizona State, not the most popular here in Tucson, but I did receive my bachelor's in recreation and tourism management. So after completing my college internship at Sheraton Wild Horse Pass, I was hired on and I worked there for 5 years. That's when I fell in love with hospitality. From the Sheraton Wild Horse Pass, I went to the Westin Kierland. I worked at the Four Seasons Scottsdale. And then while I was working at the Crowne Plaza Phoenix Airport, that is when they had started to build Casino del Sol's hotel. Mm-hmm. So I've always wanted to work for my tribe. I actually found a letter to myself that I wrote in college that I was either going to be on tribal council or the COO of Casino del Sol. So it's really funny how I just kept going and I never thought that I would actually get there. So
goal achievement. That's fantastic.
Right.
You know,
they say
that if you're going to achieve a goal, you should write it down and make it real. And so you did. I did.
It's absolutely amazing. So when I came to Tucson and started working at Casino del Sol, it was as an event manager. That's all I ever wanted to do. We have a great conference center there. I just wanted to manage events. And our now CEO, Kimberly Van Anberg, was general counsel there, and she oversaw the hotel. And she had asked me if I wanted to be the assistant manager at the hotel. And I said, nope, I am fine. And she's very persuasive, so I ended
She's a litigator, so she knows how to be persuasive. Huh?
Yes. So I ended up going to the hotel. 6 months after that, our hotel director left, and I was promoted to the director of the hotel. And I oversaw the hotel for about 5 years. From there, I went on to do community relations at the casino, so working with the community, sponsorships, donations, really getting a feel on.
And thank you for those that you've given to our charity, Coaches for Charity, and other charities that we work with.
Yes.
So thank you.
Of course. Of course, we love being a great partner to the community. So during that position, there has always been succession opportunities. So they had an executive career ladder leader program coming. And they would choose two tribal members to eventually fill the role of COO. And initially I wasn't going to do it. Mm-hmm. But then I found that letter to myself.
Right.
And I was just like, oh, I
have to do this.
I have to do it.
Yeah.
So I did it. I applied. You know, the interviews were nerve-wracking. It was scary. I really did not think that I would get the opportunity. So Miguel Escamilla and I were chosen to be part of this succession program. And at the end, one of us would be COO. So we worked in tandem so well together. And I like to say that they didn't want Miguel to cry, so they put both of us as a GM position.
That's great.
And so it has been working out so great. So just being in this position, being the highest female tribal member at Casino del Sol, it's such an accomplishment to me. So it's
congratulations
exciting.
To you. That's awesome.
Thank you.
So Casino del Sol, for those that aren't familiar with it, which everybody probably is in Tucson, but What types of things? You got a hotel, restaurants? What do you have there at the facility that people can enjoy?
Oh, my goodness. So we have two hotel towers. We have our Del Sol Resort and then our new, maybe not so new anymore, but I feel like it was last year, our Estrella Tower. So each of those towers have their own swimming pools, fitness centers. Estrella is more directed towards family. We have an arcade. We have a water slide. And then our Del Sol Resort has the Oasis Bar outside, has a great lawn area, the beautiful fire pits, and some jacuzzis as well as cabanas. So that is a great staycation in itself. We also have, our casino floor offers 1,300 state-of-the-art slot and video poker machines, electric craps, roulette, blackjack, and
I've donated.
We thank
speaking of charities, I've donated to your charity. It's been fun.
It's a great partnership, right? Yeah.
When we take my mother-in-law out there to go to bingo, I stop at those and make my donation. So
it's working, yay! Yeah. That's awesome. So yeah, we have also table games. We have a craps roulette. We have Texas Hold'em, all the blackjack you can think of. Our bingo hall seats about 300 players and features daily specials. And we have a daily matinee, early bird, evening, and late bird sessions. Mm-hmm. And they also have special promos, bonanzas, and session jackpots. So it's definitely the place to go for bingo if that's what you love. So we also include a soul sports room, a poker room, and a high limit room.
Right. Mm-hmm. And you also have golf and entertainment, right?
Oh, yes. So we have Sawailo, and it's our beautiful award-winning 18-hole golf course. It measures over 7,400 yards from the championship tees. But, you know, those like me, there's five different tee boxes to accommodate all players and all levels. So
I hit from the light blue ones at the very front. Believe me.
Me too. And I still get stuck in the sand or in the water. So, but it
That's
is
a beautiful course. Yes. Absolutely beautiful course.
Yes, it is absolutely gorgeous. And one of our most recent accolades there at the golf course is that we made Golf Week's top 200 resort golf courses in the U.S.
Congratulations. So, amazing.
Thank you. Amazing. Thank you. Yep. And then our entertainment venues, we have Ava Amphitheater, where we have our outdoor concerts if the weather permits.
Right.
And then the event center inside.
Which is huge. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
When we come back, let's talk about the 30th anniversary and talk about my favorite places. One of my favorite places there, the PY Steakhouse. And we'll come back after the break. You're listening to Jump in Tucson on KVOI 1030 AM, The Voice. Thanks for listening for this segment. We'll be back with Casino del Sol after the break. Welcome back to Jump in Tucson. This is Dr. Ed Ackerley, and we're with Lisa Sesamagay, who is the general manager of Casino del Sol. It hardly seems possible, but it's the 30th anniversary of Casino del Sol. Could you talk a little bit about the history of how the Casino of the Sun and how it all started? And now, obviously, it is a pretty impressive facility.
Definitely. So we started with an actual bingo tent known as the Arizona Club. And shortly after Arizona regulations legalized gambling, it eventually became Casino of the Sun in 1994. So there have been numerous expansions with our resort, Casino del Sol, golf, and then the Estrella Second Hotel Tower. So,
and the Ava Amphitheater has brought in incredible talent over the last 25 years.
Yeah. Yes, and it's been super exciting. And, you know, it doesn't stop there. We're going to start breaking ground for our Grant Road property here soon. Mm-hmm. So that's just going to be another addition that's going to be able to assist with tribal economic development.
That's on the south east corner of Grant and the freeway, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. And that's the tribal land. It's kind of a swap with the city and county, but it's tribal lands, and that's going to be where the next, what is that going to be called? Do they have a name for it yet?
We have not decided yet. Right now we're just calling it Casino del Sol Grant Road. Okay. But, you know, we hope to get the tribe's involvement in that and see what, right, you know, what we would like it
and
called.
And the little Pasquayaki village is right there,
yes,
too.
Yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So the history, it's taken 30 years. Lots of development in those 30 years. How has this development of this property benefited the Pascua Yaqui Nation over the last 30 years?
There has been so much growth on our 220 acres that we call the reservation. There is a new education building. We are getting a new health and wellness building. We have our own working fire station, police station, you know, our judicial system. It is just brought in a phenomenal amount of economic development for the Pascua Yaqui tribe. And not only the jobs that the casinos gives, you know, to tribal members, you know, it's in our backyard, it's right there. So it's been very, very helpful to the tribe and its successes, you know.
Some would argue that 50 years ago, say, that the nation was kind of, you know, economically less than what it could be and so forth, and there was some concern. And then the casino came in, and over the last 30 years, this economic development has really lifted the economic situation of a lot of the nation, the people that live there, but also just the area in general has just increased. There's a lot more quick trips and restaurants and gas stations and other things that have built up around that area, which are not on the reservation land, but they're outside of that. But it really has been kind of an economic boon for the area.
Yeah, for sure. And now tribal members don't have to drive 5 miles to go and get groceries. You know, right. It's just right there. So it's been very, very great.
Right. If you talked a little bit about the gaming and so forth. One of the things I think would be of interest to our audience is the relaxing gaming that we call bingo, which when I first went, my mother-in-law and my wife and sister-in-law and some other people, well, one time I think we had 14 people go out there. We did it for a family outing. And it's pretty fun just to kind of sit there, especially, oh, that's really fun if you win. And if you get 14 people out there, your chances of winning is pretty high for the group. But just talk a little bit about the ambiance and the relaxation and the fun that is the bingo parlor, which is huge, but really intimate and fun.
Right. Like I said, it has room for 300 guests. We have some nights where we have, you know, the fun bingo nights. Mm-hmm. And so many guests just rave about it. It is so much fun. Our callers are great. All of our team members who work in there, you know, those are our returning guests, so they know them by name. You know, we have a nice deli in there where a lot mm-hmm. of people are able to get popcorn, drinks, hot dogs, and it's just a fun place to be. It's like going to Cheers. Everybody right. knows your name, so it's a nice, comfortable place. Our employees are great, and people love it.
I have to tell you, I never thought in a million years that I would like bingo. But I have been out probably 6 or 8 times over the last few years. And every time I've gone, when I'm leaving, I thought that was fun. Had a good time. It's not someplace that I would normally think of. I would think about going to Sawalo and playing golf.
Right.
I would think about going to a concert. I would probably never on my list of things, let's go to bingo. But the reality is when you do go, it's really fun. Talk a little bit about PY Steakhouse, because I think that's a great place for date nights and special occasions and business functions. What an impressive restaurant that is.
Oh my gosh, PY is top notch. I recently had a group come in to have a conference there, and they were just blown away. They have never been to Casino del Sol from Tucson, never been to Casino del Sol, but when they ate at PY, they're just like, we never knew this was here. It was absolutely amazing. Right. So right now, PY has rolled out a great summer menu, so that's really, really good. Our chef Ileana has added to the menu with a trust me tasting. So that's really cool for date night. Mm-hmm. So she chooses, you know, you choose 5 to 8 courses, and then she chooses what you're going to get, and it is never disappointing. So being able to be there, you know, they have the age cut meat, freshest seafood, and the cocktails are amazing. Mm. We have a separate wine room that seats about 20 people, so those intimate gatherings, it's always nice to have a little party in there. Thousands of wines. We have so many different cellars that we offer, so it's a great place.
It's really good to have a weekend where you stay at the hotel, so you can go to PY, have a great meal, maybe see a concert, maybe do a little bit of gaming, and then stay at one of the beautiful towers. And it makes for a great staycation for those people that are looking for something to do that's close and affordable and fun.
Yep. And we also have a spa. So that's, you know, when you guys are out golfing, your right. wives can be at the spa.
I like that. Are there some upcoming promotions either in the gaming side or the hotel side or something that would be of interest over the summer here?
So we are finishing up on our 30th anniversary drawings in July, and the grand finale is going to be Saturday the 27th. So winners will share their win of $30,000 in cash and prizes. But any other promotions, you know, CasinoDelSol.com on the website has that. So,
and that's the place that people can connect if they go to CasinoDelSol.com. They certainly can call and talk to the people there that are very helpful of telling you what's going on. But doing that. And one thing that I think this sounds silly, but you have valet parking.
We do.
And that's really important for some of our listeners because they're concerned about having to park way out in no man's land and walk towards the building. But you can pull right up to the very front of the hotel or to the gaming area. And boom, you're there. You walk in and you're 10 feet away from where you need to be. So that valet parking is really powerful too. So 30 years, amazing that Casino del Sol has been there for 30 years. And you've been there for about 10 years now?
Yes, about 13.
13, yeah. 13. That's amazing. You've witnessed a lot of growth there too, just in the few short years you've been the general manager. So you've overseen a lot. And the addition of another tower of hotels. One of the things that's also unique, maybe not so much for Tucsonans, but you have a RV area where lots of people come in from around the area with their RVs and they park and they spend a few days out in the RV area and then they go either to a concert or go play golf or they go into the gaming area. And that also is a unique thing to have.
Yes.
And it's beautiful too, by the way. If you have a motorhome, it's a great place to go and kind of hang out for a while.
So, for sure.
So you said when you were a college student, you wrote yourself a letter and you said that I'm going to be, Lisa Sesma Gay is going to be the CEO, COO and the general manager of Casino del Sol. And you're there, you've made it. What do you see for the future for you and for Casino del Sol? What does your vision say for you and what the tribe's working on and what the casino administration is working on? What do you want to do?
Right. For myself personally, I'm not sure. I'm pretty content. Right. I was also content being an event manager. I was also content to be in the hotel, you know. Yeah. So, yeah. You know, when doors open, it's great to just burst through them. But with the tribe and the casino, you know, just growth, you know, that's something that is really neat. I mean, our nation is 45 years old, you know, it's a baby still. And this is something that we're trying to build. The elders saw the vision and we're just trying to build it for the future. Mm-hmm. So just being able to have the new casino at Grant Road and then trying to think of other economic development to help the tribe.
Will you help oversee that facility once it is in place?
Yes.
Part of you and Miguel will be kind of splitting your duties between both locations and being in charge of that as well.
For sure.
What does it look like? What is it going to be? Is it going to be restaurants and or mostly gaming or what is it? Because it's a little smaller facility, right?
Right, it is right now. So phase one, we are going to have a 4-story parking garage. It's going to be the casino. There's going to be one restaurant and then a food court type of area. Mm-hmm. But we will have tables, we will have slots, a high limit room and a couple of bars. So we're very excited.
That's great. Well, we look forward to that, the development of that. You know, this Jump in Tucson is about successes and certainly 30 years at Casino del Sol, 45 years for the tribe, but 30 years for the Casino del Sol growing and evolving with the community and now expanding even to Grant and the freeway. Lisa Sesma Gay, thank you very much for being with us on Jump in Tucson. We wish you personally much continued success, and we look forward to seeing all of our listeners at Casino del Sol sometime in the near future. What a great place to go. You're listening to Jump in Tucson on KVOI 1030 AM, The Voice. We're talking about business success stories on Friday, and if you have a company that you'd like to share your story and come on the air and have an interview about what you think is successful, we'd love to have you. Just go to jumpintucson.com. We'll be back after a word from our great sponsors. This is KVOI 1030 AM, The Voice, Tucson's only live local news and talk. and you're listening to Jump in Tucson. Welcome back to Jump in Tucson. This is Ed Ackerley. We talk about success stories and you know, people who have made an impact on Tucson and the community. And one of those people is Bob Schaff, good friend, who has a company, a consulting company called Customers for Life. Good morning, Bob.
Hi, good morning, Ed.
Before we get started in talking about Customers for Life and your consulting business, tell us a little bit about you, where you grew up, and kind of your trajectory as you move through your work at IBM and how you became a consultant.
I've had a pretty amazing life. I'm blessed by that. I was born in Phoenix, Arizona. My mom was born in Bisbee. That makes me a second generation Arizonan. I went to school here at the University of Arizona. I got an electrical engineering degree. And my first job out of college was with IBM. And at the time, IBM was the premier company in the world. They took great care of their employees, who took great care of their customers. And I loved every minute of my career with IBM. I had a very successful career with IBM in sales and management jobs in six cities across the country. I succeeded. Looking back, I succeeded because I outworked my peers. I worked hard. I loved my job. I wanted to succeed. And I did. I spent every available moment at some personal sacrifice to be successful. Hard work was successful. It's really important even today. But there are other things, and I've learned that. My last assignment was back here in Tucson, where I went to school, where I was head of sales and marketing for Southern Arizona. But I left IBM after 26 years, when it stopped being the company I joined. I was 49 years old. I had no job. I just quit. I didn't want to work there anymore. I still had energy. I still wanted to do things, but I didn't know what I was going to do. And during my last weeks at IBM, though, I had a conversation with my ex-boss that changed my life. It was kind of my epiphany because it gave me direction for my future. My ex-boss and I had a conversation, and I thanked him for the time that I had with him, and I asked him a really important question. What advice do you have for me as I go forward? What could I have done better? And his response was, Bob, you need to change one very important thing that you do every day. What's that? I responded. And he said the following. You come to work every day. You get to the office around 7 o'clock before everybody else shows up. And you make a list of the 17 things you want to accomplish that day. And around 9, when everybody else is in the office, you are on task number 6 of your 17. And you get up out of your corner office and you walk to the other side of the office and go to see Mary. And you have this conversation with her. Hey, Mary, we have an accounts receivable problem. I wonder if you could check with them and see if we can get them to pay their accounts receivable balance. Please call them today. Will you do this? And Mary says, sure. And I say, thank you. And I return to my desk to work on task number 7. And I say, well, that's about right. That's what I do. My boss replies, well, that's what's wrong with you, Bob. You didn't stop on the way to see Mary to ask Pete how his son did in the swimming meet. You didn't stop to ask Susan how her mother's recovery from surgery went. And you didn't ask John how his vacation in San Diego went. You were so focused at being efficient, getting your 17 things done, that you failed to be effective. You failed to engage employees in conversations that weren't efficient. There's nothing efficient about talking about a swim meet, but it would be very effective because you would be demonstrating that you care about them. Well, that conversation hit me like a ton of bricks. I said, oh my gosh, what's wrong with me? 26 years with one of the great companies in the world. How come I didn't do more of that? I've been so selfish, so focused. I wanted to succeed at IBM. I wanted to be the best branch manager they ever had. And I focused on that. And I didn't try enough to establish an emotional, personal relationship with the people that worked for me. So that was my wake-up call. And I said, I'm going to devote the rest of my career to help other companies learn what I just learned. It's all about relationships. It's all about people. That's what it's about. And if you build relationships, you earn trust. If you earn trust, great things happen. That all happened. because of one conversation with my ex-boss. Changed my life. So I started a company, Customers for Life. And now I help companies all over the city, all over the country, all over the world. I have international companies that have hired me to do exactly that. And it's amazing that CEOs, in my experience of companies, they all say, oh, we give great customer service. Right. We take great care of our employees. Our employees are most important. Our customers are most important. That is all lip service. They do not really mean that because they're focused on quarterly profits.
Right.
And it's gotten worse and worse and worse. And so I look for CEOs who get it, who understand how important their employees are. I don't think that you can deliver great customer service or earn business from customers if you don't have employees that get it, that can't wait to get to work in the morning and look forward to their jobs and go out of their way to help their customers succeed.
Right. You talk about delivering remarkable experiences, mm-hmm. and so you use the word remarkable when you talk about that, which is part of building that trust.
Yes.
What do you mean by remarkable? What does that mean?
I love that word. Remarkable means people will remark about it. It means it's unusual, it's different, it's better. And I took what I learned at IBM and I combined it with what I learned from that experience with my ex-boss. And now I talk about this concept I call being remarkable, and it's very simple. 5 steps. Being remarkable means you and your company go out of your way to make it easy for people in your life, for customers in your life, for your wife, for your kids. Go out of your way to make it easy for them to engage in a dialogue with you, talking with them, not at them. That's missing from today's culture. And when you enter that dialogue, you try to provide value to them. And every so often, surprise them by doing something unexpected at unexpected times. And when you do that, you magnify the impact of what you do. So that's it. And I have lots of examples to share with you. Go out of your way to make it easy to engage your customers in conversations frequently in ways they value and sometimes don't expect.
That is remarkable. And that builds that thing that we talk about, which is trust. And relationships are about building trust with people and getting them to believe in you, but also believe in themselves. And then obviously in the business setting, believe in their customers and trust the customers, and then having those customers trust back to the person that's delivering the service or the idea. It's a pretty simple formula. But
it's trust. Absolute trust. And if what I found, if people trust you in a business, they buy stuff from you. If people trust you in your personal relationship, they want to be with you. They want to be your friend. They want to help you, and you because you want to help them. The secret, I learned this a long time ago. I learned this at IBM. Your real job, no matter what your job is to help your boss succeed. What? I told that to my kids, and my kids said, no, Dad, I don't want to do that. I don't want a brown nose. I don't want to suck up. And I said, no, that's not the point. You're helping him succeed by what you do. And when you do that, you earn his trust. And when you earn his trust, he does things to help you. And he helps you succeed, and you help him succeed. Simple. Hard to do. Hard to do if you have a bad boss.
Right, right. But it's an important part of the process, which is to, again, be kind of a servant leader, but also be a servant worker as well, as serve other people and build mm-hmm. build that trust outwardly. So we're talking with Bob Schaff, Customers for Life Consulting, after a 26-year career with IBM here in Tucson. When we come back after the break, we'll talk about what being remarkable means and how one can attain that. We'll talk a little bit, too, about employee engagement and some other things.
Great.
About how companies can do better in both their professional and personal lives. You're listening to Jump in Tucson on KVOI 1030 AM, The Voice. We'll be back after the break. Welcome back to Jump in Tucson. I'm your host, Dr. Ed Ackerley. This is a show where we talk about successes in business and in life. And we're speaking with somebody who's done a good job of that, Bob Schaff, who's a consultant with Customers for Life. Good morning again, Bob.
Good morning.
You talked earlier about the five steps, about how you become remarkable and how you build that trust and those relationships. Can you kind of go through those five steps again and kind of give us a tutorial on what those, how important those five steps are?
The reason those five steps work, Ed, is because they impact people. They show people that you care. Being remarkable means going out of your way to make it easy for people to connect with you in ways they value and sometimes don't expect. When somebody goes out of their way for you, you recognize that. You say, wow, that was nice. When they offer to take you to the airport for a flight that you're going to take, you say, wow, that was nice. When they make it easy for you, you will react the same way. We are in a time-crunched culture. We are trying to balance personal and business lives, and anything we can that somebody else can do to make it easier for us helps us. Dialogue is the secret to relationships, and that's the whole key to this idea. But adding value is always at the forefront. You have to make sure you help people and give them something they value, and then every so often surprise them. So those five things, it's like glue. It makes people want to be with you. It makes companies want to buy stuff from you because they trust you. So that's why it works. It's a people thing.
Five really important steps. So, you know, in our country today, and in our local politics, and even in our companies and so forth, and some might even argue in our own families, there's this. We've set up this dynamic of polarization where it's me against you, us against them, right against left, one political party against the other. How can being remarkable help to mitigate that polarization that's occurring in our culture now?
This is probably too simple an answer, but it's the only way it's going to get fixed. The polarization has happened. It's accelerated recently. It built on top of COVID, which destroyed so many things in our culture. We don't make eye contact anymore. We don't shake hands. We don't hug. We don't talk. We don't talk anymore. And so that plus the polarization just makes it a really understandable situation that we're dealing with. Just imagine the possibility, to directly to your question, of our political systems adopting being remarkable. Five steps. Each side would go out of their way to make it easy for frequent dialogues to occur, also known as listening. And each side would look for ways to help each other succeed. That means giving a little bit to them so they will give a little bit to you. And you're not going to get everything you want, but you're going to get something better than existed today. And each side would seek to add value to their positions and to those of the other side, also known as compromise. And it all happens because you go out of your way to make it easy for conversations to happen. And we don't talk anymore. We talk on our phones, and there's a phone conversation is 10 times more valuable than an email.
Right.
So every so often, each side would do an unexpected thing, like what Reagan and Tip O'Neill did. They got together and smoked cigars and had a drink. I mean, wow.
You do that now, you're considered a traitor to the party.
Yes.
Yeah. You're ostracized, or the party sanctioned you back home. Your party, your local party, gives you a sanction and says that you're not a real member of their party, whichever. It doesn't matter which side it is. They all say that if you work with the other side, you're a bad person.
But if you adopt being remarkable, you can't do that.
Right.
You have to engage.
So that is the answer.
For me. And my proof of that in my experience, I was 26 years with IBM. Now I'm 30 some years doing Customers for Life. And what I've discovered is that every successful business that I admire, the Disneys, the Ubers, the Amazons, the Costcos, all of them do those five steps. Every single one of them. And I have dozens of examples of that. And every successful person that I admire does that to me. I want to be with them. I want to hang out with them. I want to help them if they have a problem because they made me feel special. That's another way of saying the be remarkable thing. In one word, make others in your life feel special. Companies for doing business with you, people for wanting to be with you. When you make people feel special, they will seek you out.
We're talking with Bob Schaff from Customers for Life Consulting after a long career with IBM, now a long career in the consulting business.
Yeah, they're not too long. I still have lots of time.
Yeah. So tell us one of the things that we do in business is to try and get our employees to be engaged in the process. And so obviously if you can make them feel remarkable and use your steps with them, that's a good thing. But what would you suggest on how to earn employee engagement?
Looking back at my experience, I was a lot better at earning engagement with my customers. Mm-hmm. And I spent all my time doing that. I did a pretty good job of getting them to trust me. But I ignored my employees, as my example told you. I ignored. So here's my recipe for that. Hire well, number one. You got to have good people that are aligned with your culture and your values. Train them consistently. Continuously. Be responsive to their suggestions. Ask them, how are we doing? Ask them how we could be better. Ask, if you ask somebody their opinion, that is a pretty high praise. You care. You must have something good for me to understand. So ask suggestions, reward generously when they do that. Honor them, make them feel special for working here. And the same advice applies in our personal lives. Select your friends well. I think we become the average of the five people we hang out most with. Frequently connect with them. Listen to them. Make them feel special. It works every single time. Now, I preach this, but I'm not great at it. I still don't do these things within my family as much as I should, or in my business as much as I should, but that's not a problem. I still try.
Right.
Every day.
And trying to be remarkable. That's great. So you've had a brief career, a couple of years doing this.
Yeah, thank you. That's much better.
What's changed most during your working career from the time that you got that job at IBM to all the consulting that you've done with all these companies around the state, around the country, around the world? What's changed the most?
I mentioned this a little bit earlier. We're time crunched. We're trying to balance so many different things. Double working couples, husband and spouse working, multitasking, soccer games, everything. And time is the real new valued currency. If we can save people time, that's changed. And also the thing that's changed is because there's so much pressure on everybody, we get surly, indifferent customer service. Customers are looking for fast, friendly service and fast, friendly people. COVID, as I mentioned earlier, changed everything also. It's going to take us a long time to recover because we forgot how to hug. We forgot how to talk. We forgot how to engage.
And so being remarkable is something that you practice every day, and it's something that has to be part of your...
It's like exercise.
Yeah.
As soon as you stop doing it, you atrophy.
Right.
As you, the more you do it, the easier it gets. And I get so much reward from doing it.
Bob Schaff, Customers for Life Consulting, thank you so much for sharing your perspective today and the success that you have had both in your career at IBM but also in your long career at Customers for Life Consulting. We appreciate the insight that you have and appreciate you being a remarkable person.
It all started with that one conversation.
That's great. And
thank you.
We're going to encourage everyone to pick up those five steps and be remarkable. If you'd like to be interviewed on Jump in Tucson, go to jumpintucson.com and tell us your story. Perhaps you could be interviewed live here on Jump in Tucson on KVOI 1030 AM The Voice. Thanks for listening, and thank you, Bob, for being here this morning.
Thank you, Ed, for the opportunity.
All right.